Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Joining us now, DJ Bienemy in studio. Covers the Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at DJ Bienemy. DJ, I was watching the Vikings game live. I'm like, this is happening exactly how DJ said this was going to happen. Like, you nailed that game script. Now, unfortunately for the Texans, they lost by 27, but you kind of saw that coming.
Not in that big of a blowout fashion, but yeah, them losing, yeah, mainly because, you know, that defense was going to get some issues. They jumped out on them early. It's going to be hard to come back against that defense on the road. With that environment, that crowd, That's a real home field advantage. I'm not gonna lie to you. No shade to Texans fans. I think they're getting there, but there's levels. And I think that level was something that I couldn't hear myself think at times. You know? So playing against that defense, CJ going first time going against that Brian Flores scheme, no Joe Mixon, not being able to run the ball, it was just a combination of bad things that, you know, was gonna happen.
Well, and your boy Sam played out of his mind again. I mean, because you told us, you know, at some point he's going to melt down, and
yeah,
it hasn't come to that yet. The slipper's still on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's week three. That was week three, and he's usually good for about 3 weeks. He can go back to playing like crap.
Let's hope he craps the bed in Green Bay.
Yeah. I think against Green Bay, he'll go back to playing like crap.
So you look at that. We've heard all the takeaways. You went from a Sam Darnold quarterback game. Now we're going to a Jacksonville team that seems like Trevor Lawrence is in disarray.
Right.
Is there any reason to believe that there's going to be a whole lot of fight in that cat in this case instead of a dog, and they're going to come out and they're going to really show that they're a different team, or are we to expect that this is where the Texans get right?
I think the Jags are going to come out fighting. I mean, most teams that get blown out and embarrassed, especially on national TV, they usually show a lot more fight that next game. Obviously, the Texans got embarrassed too, but the Jags, I mean, before week three, and they just ran into a bust. I like Buffalo's one of those teams that when everything's rolling, nobody can beat them. Like, it's been like for some years, but, you know, they're never like that in the playoffs. But there's moments where they're rolling and there's literally nothing you can do, and it happens. And they're one of those teams that got caught in that bust off. But week one, week two, the Jaguars are very competitive, obviously, in the Miami game. Travis Etienne doesn't fumble that carry in the end zone. It's probably a completely different game. Then the Browns game, it was kind of back and forth. Obviously, they had a shot to try to tie it at the end. They couldn't get in. They couldn't get in the end zone, led to a Hail Mary. But, I mean, I think it's going to be a tough game, mainly because where they are, their strongest suit on defense is right now the Texans' weakest point, which is their D-line versus the Texans' O-line, especially on the interior. The Texans' interior O-line is still developing, still trying to get right. So I think that this week, I still think Texas will win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. If they can't run the ball and they're facing a bunch of third and sevens and longer, then, you know, the Texans are going to be scrapping just to get past 21 points.
DJ, you triggered me earlier today when you said football to defend the Tank Dell injury. I am not a fan of playing, as you know, of playing starters whenever you're down by 27 with minutes left to play. Minnesota didn't do it. We see it in football. If you look at cross-sport references, you know, NBA garbage time, best players out. You look at baseball, don't use leverage guys. Don't use their best players down late. Why do we use football as kind of the word to defend some questionable decisions of when to leave starters in and out of the game?
I mean, again, like, if D'Amico knew Tank might have gotten or dinged up, if he would have left him in, he probably would have taken him out. Like, I get it. You got to have the foresight, things of that nature. The game is over. Ozzy Blase. I mean, yes, you could have gone out there with Xavier Hutchinson and Robert Woods and Steven Sims, but, you know, they wanted to give Davis Mills some work and at least help him try to get into the end zone, try to get the offense into the end zone.
Is that
Is it worth it? No, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, he got hurt, but you got Stephon Diggs and you got Nico Collins. You'll be fine.
Would you rather have Tank or not have Tank, though? Because, like, it's kind of
the way they're using him right now, I mean, like, they're kind of using him like a gadget player anyway. So, like, they're not using him to the best of his abilities right now, in my honest opinion. So, being without him this week isn't going to affect much of the game plan.
No, I would agree with that. I think they're going to be fine without Tank. And I think they'll win this game, even though the Tank's not there. I think they're probably better suited for 12 personnel than 11 personnel right now, quite frankly, because of their offensive line. But it could have very easily been Laremy Tunsil. He was still out there. It could have very easily been Nico Collins, your high money receiver.
I think that's fair. I think, you know, I think it's a fair criticism, but I'm also not going to criticize the coach for keeping his guys in there and trying to, like, get, you know, a touchdown on the board. Like, I get both sides, but it's always hindsight when it comes to that.
I was saying it live and in the moment.
Well, I mean, how am I supposed to know that? I didn't know that you were saying that in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying overall, though, like, it's a hindsight discussion for the most part, right? Like, when guys, it's usually discussed when people get hurt. But when people are still out there and nobody's hurt and everything's just going fine and it's just a blowout, nobody says anything. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, it's always a 20-20 hindsight, because it's not like people, for the most part, not saying that you don't, but sure, it's not, for the most part, people are, like, pounding on it. Why it's actually going on in the moment, you know? So,
okay. I mean, it's passion. If you guys want to keep going, that's fine. My question is one of the other glaring things coming out of the game was obviously the performance of the offensive line. Absolutely. We were talking about it on the show. It isn't even so much about the penalties, but we've heard from everybody, it's about the continuity. It's about getting better. We've heard we're fixing it. Who fixes it? How do they fix it? And is it fixable by this week?
I don't think it's fixable by this week. I think it's going to take some more time, more continuity between, cause I think, if my memory is serving correct, it's not like Kenyon Green and Juice actually haven't played that many games together in, like, NFL, like, regular season football at all. I think it's, what, their fourth game together? It's not like Juice played a lot last year. So, like, you have really two really, really young, inexperienced players on the interior, and, you know, they just have to, it's going to take, you know, some weeks before they can finally all get on one accord, because they're not blocking as five. They're kind of blocking as individual guys, because the chemistry and the continuity and just being able to pick up and block the right guy at the right time, there's a lot of times where you see Juice chasing blocks that he doesn't really need to chase when a guy crosses his face, but maybe if he felt like Kenyon Green was right next to him to pick up the guy that's trying to cross his face, maybe he'll feel more comfortable. But, you know, he's going to just take more reps, because it's very clear what teams are trying to do. Obviously, I think Bobby to throw curveballs at, you know, the opposing teams, and instead of trying to run your outside zone, just start running power. Because with teams just trying to slant in, if you go power, one player was telling me that if we go power, what makes it effective against when teams slant inward is we can wash them down and get them out the way. Because everybody's going inward, it's kind of clunky. While you have, you know, Juice and Kenyon Green pushing them down, you have Shaq pulling around. Now you have a hole for the running backs to run through, you know, things of that nature, you know, run some more inside zones and things of that nature, maybe run some duo, just to, like, get teams to back off of that, and then you can get back to your outside zone stuff. So, you know, a lot of it does also start with Bobby, because you can't get it to where, like, you're just going to keep banging your head on the wall trying to, like, you know, implement what you want to do. Something you got to do is best for the team, and obviously right now running outside zone consistently and effectively isn't working for them.
I think quick passing game is important, too. Like, you see some of the things that works with them in the passing game. It's like, okay, if the offensive line's not going to protect, if they're going to have trouble with the stunts and the games like we were talking about last week, right, quick passing game. Kind of avoid that all at all cost.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is they're seeing a lot of stunts in the passing game when it comes against, you know, like, the stunts in the passing game, they're usually seeing it on third downs because CJ, you know, he has the second most dropbacks against third and long, like third and seven and longer, the second most behind Deshaun Watson. And I think CJ is able to, I think he's, like, his completion percentage is like 14 for 18 in those situations, but still, like, there's a reason why they're towards the back half of, like, teams that convert on third down. I think, like, they're, like, in the mid 20s or, like, high 20s, but still, like, you're way in the back, and that's because they have a lot of third
down. Didn't I see, like, 7 of the 8 third downs against Minnesota were more than 8 yards?
Yeah, because it was
tough. That's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like, that was, you just can't, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You could be playing, the Texans could be playing the 2000.
Cincinnati's defense.
I was going to say 2007 Detroit Lions.
Okay. That's worse.
Yeah, like, they're way back. Yeah, they're going to still have, like, the Detroit Lions will have a shot in that game, because it's just too hard to always convert third and longs. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how good your quarterbacks are. And I think they're going to have to do a better job of getting into third and manageables. Because, you know, another thing, too, that I've noticed on the film outside of the stunts is that's why, you know, that's why I said earlier in the week, a lot of it's going to start with Bobby. Like, it starts with Bobby, because there's a lot of time where CJ is looking to where the progression is taking him. and it's muddy there, and he tries to look back left or try to get to his check down. And that's usually a sign that the defensive coordinator, at least early on, is being able to have a read and a beat on your offensive coordinator, and then that's when the pressure can get to you. But again, like, it's a combination of a bunch of things, you know, even with, you know, it's a combination of both things. Like, there's one stat that's crazy. I don't think I tweeted it out, but out of all the quarterbacks, I think CJ is, in terms of time to pressure, so as fast as pressure gets to you, it's at 2.52 right now, which is like 7th fastest amongst all starters.
Sheesh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sheesh. You know, so 2.5 is crazy. You know, like, that means by the time he gets to the top of his drop, like.
See, we're talking about. I thought he played well. I actually thought he played well in the Minnesota game. Considering all that stuff, I thought he played well.
And we talk about, like, from snap to release and how quickly guys got to get rid of it. You have no time at all when you say it's 2.5.
Right, right. And you're getting pressured at that point. You know what I'm saying? So, like. That can be all it takes is to, you know, possibly potentially affect the throw.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or you rush a throw, or like you're not able to get to that last guy. Or like, I remember there's one play where he looked right and then was trying to get all the way back to Cam. And Cam was wide open and at the end of going out of bounds to the left side. Cam was wide open and that could have been for a lot of yards. But again, like, the pressure is getting there so fast. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think that's what I said. Like, it starts with Bobby. Like, I know, like, you know, fans want to criticize the O-line and penalties and et cetera, but, and I think all that's fine. But I think it starts with Bobby coming up with better game plans.
We talked about it a little bit before we hit the air, but I saw you tweeting that Nico thankfully practiced. Joe was a limited participant. Nico says he's going to play. Joe?
It's questionable right now. Me, personally, I would hold him out this week and the same for the Buffalo Bills game. Because if you can't run the ball against the Bills, you have no shot. Sean McDermott, they, like, that's why that's right now, it doesn't matter who they have in the back end, who they have at the linebackers. He's been there since, I believe, 2017. It's 2024. He's been there for, I mean, this is the 8th season. Like, there's a culture, there's a system there that they've been running for years. So, like you know, their system is jam-packed. Like, they know what to do, things like that. It's easy for them to plug and play, and they play extremely fast. So, if you can't, if you're just dropping back all day, You're gonna be in hell. That's why, like, when they played Miami on Thursday night, right? The Dolphins couldn't run the ball. And Tua ends up throwing three interceptions because he was facing a lot of third and longs. And obviously that one pick six, he couldn't get the ball out of he couldn't throw it away completely out of bounds. But again, like, if you're living in third and longs against the Buffalo Bills, they will eat your lunch. Mm-hmm. That's one of those defenses that will completely eat your lunch. So I personally would save Joe for next week. Not saying, like, you know, I think you can win without Joe against the Jags. I don't think you can. I think your chances of winning against the Bills go drastically down if you don't have Joe. Because I think there were some runs against the Vikings that if they had Joe, he would have been able to turn a 1 yard or a 2 yarder into, like, maybe 4, maybe 5. You know what I'm saying? Like, it still would have been tough sledding, but I think he would have been able to power through some runs. Because that was one of those games where you kind of need a power back. And, like, yeah, Cam was able to have some, you know, some nice runs. He's able to use his elusiveness. But that was one of those games you had to kind of get north and south and get mighty, and, you know, because that defense was humming. So.
And you're looking at 3rd and 5 instead of 3rd and 7 there. So it goes back to the whole 3rd and long situation. Right. Even if it's only 2 more yards
that
for
matters,
the carry,
though.
It's 3rd and 5. Because, much easier to succeed than 3rd and 7.
Because defenses have to call – they have to call it differently at that point, right? Because if, like – if and then offenses can call it differently because it's 5 yards. That's like one – that's like – not one step, but like 2 steps. Right, so you can run. Your whole playbook is open. When it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, like, you know,
especially would you say 2 point?
Yeah, 2.5 before you get pressured. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a completely different ball game. I mean, I think CJ right now, I think he's had 10 unblocked pressures this year, 4th most, 3 unblocked sacks. So, like, and a lot of them just on 3rd downs.
That's crazy, DJ. Appreciate the time, man. Good information as always. Good conversation. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
DJ Bienemy covers the Houston Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. You can check him out on Twitter at DJ Bienemy for all the latest Houston Texans news. Great follow. All right, Texans are 2-1. Why are so many people acting like they're worse? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Make sure.
ESPN 97.5.